Good evening. What a freedom we have to come into God's house this evening, hey? So good that's not lost on us, and we're thankful for that. And I just sense that as we've been singing that this is God's house where the lonely, the hurt, the broken, the sad, the joyful come. And as a family, we experience all those things. And this evening, I just sense God is our Father. He is our Father, but he's just saying, just come and listen. And as a family, this is what I want us to share this evening. And it's for you, and he wants us to hear his word. So we're going to look at a passage in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 20. If you're following in the church Bible, then it's page 1148. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and for the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies. Excuse me. I'll try to turn the mic off when I do that again. So we're following on in our series of being family, of being devoted to one another. And we're looking at how the Corinthians were behaving badly. And the content that seduced the Corinthians is also a reflection of our own culture and the societal norms that we face today. We can learn so much from how the Corinthians and believers lived, and they were human. And they made mistakes like we make mistakes. They make errors of judgment, and they don't get it sometimes. They just don't understand things correctly. But then they were led and supported back onto a path where they did understand, and they became the free people that God destined them to be. They were a people who were loved and cared for by God, free from the sin that had been confessed. They were able to lead transformed, whole and healthy lives and flourish. Jesus never backed away from dealing with things that needed to be dealt with. He never swept things under the carpet or skirted around it, but went straight down the middle and challenged it. He had dinner with prostitutes. He mingled with different people who had perhaps questionable careers or professions. But you see, he came for the lost. He came for the sick and the broken and the hurting. And those trying to fill their lives with stuff because they didn't realize that they needed Jesus. So this evening, sexual immorality is a tricky thing to address as well as to say. Especially if you've got a dry mouth. So sometimes, as a church, we might skirt around the issue. But it's something we need to grapple with and at times work through the uncomfortableness of, and often the damaging behaviours that can sometimes occur in relationships. And it's not just about those that are in marriage. It's for singles. It's for anyone. Because if you're single, it doesn't mean you're not in relationship with someone. So just because you're single doesn't mean to say that you're exempt. And just because you're married doesn't mean to say you're exempt. Just because you're not sure what's what doesn't mean to know that you're exempt. So I want to share with you the message translation as well of that passage. So if you just bear with me. Don't you realise this is not the way to live? Unjust people who don't care about God will not be joining in his kingdom. Those who use and abuse each other, those who use and abuse sex, those who use and abuse the earth and everything in it, don't qualify as citizens in God's kingdom. A number of you from experience know what I'm talking about, but not so long ago you were on that list. Since then you've been cleaned up and given a fresh start by Jesus, our Master, our Messiah, and by our God, who is present in us, the Spirit. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I could, thank you, I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. You know the old saying, first you eat to live, and then you eat. You live to eat. Well, it may be true that the body is only a temporary thing, but that's no excuse for stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sex. Since the Master honours you with a body, honour him with your body. God honoured Jesus' body by raising it from the grave. He'll treat yours with the same resurrection power. And until that time, remember that your bodies were created with the same dignity as Christ's body. You wouldn't take Christ's body off to a whorehouse to engage in use and abuse of sex, would you? We all have a body. This is God's house, but this is God's house too. And let's face it, when we look at anything on TV, when we're driving down the road and you've got the billboard ads, everything on there has a suggestion, usually, of sex or seduction, because that's what sells. You look at the adverts on TV, the Jean-Paul Gaultier perfume, it sells because of what's on it. Some of you may be old enough to remember the old Flake advert. Yeah, sex sells. More recently, the Lindor chocolate, that's the same. It sells cars, it's in pop songs and lyrics, and our children are listening to some songs and pop songs, and they don't actually hear the lyrics. And it's only when we hear the lyrics and we think, whoa, hang on a minute. You know, it's a nice tune, but actually the lyrics. So it's present everywhere. Sometimes it's very subtle, and we digest it without giving it a second thought because it's all around us. So this week, maybe be intentional about what you're watching and what you're looking at and what's around us and what we as our, you know, Christian brothers and sisters are taking in, but everybody in society is taking this in and they think it's fine, they think it's normal. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. It's written in scripture that two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with Jesus, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us lonelier than ever, the kind of sex that can never become one. See, there is a sacredness in our own bodies. When we have confessed to Jesus, when we've accepted him as our Lord and Saviour, we are sacred. We're in the process of sanctification. We were made for God-given and God-modelled love, for becoming one with him and with one another. Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? This is what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. They'd got it wrong. They sort of thought everything's permissible. God saved them. Jesus has saved them. They can do whatever they want, but they'd misunderstood it. So the physical part of us is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of us. God owns the whole works because he created us beautifully and wonderfully made. God designed and gave the gift of sex, as we were saying this morning, to the marriage union of man and woman. As Christians, we believe the sanctity of marriage of one man and one woman. It was given for creating babies for the next generation. A man and a man can't create a baby. A woman and a woman can't create a baby. A man and woman can create a child. Sex was given for the pleasure within this boundary of marriage. Some believers in Corinth were excusing their sinful behaviours, attitudes and actions by saying that Christ had taken away all their sin, and he had taken away all their sin. And they were thinking that because of that, they had complete freedom to live as they pleased. In verse 1, we have it right there. Everything is permissible. Paul answered the three excuses. While Jesus has taken away our sin, this does not give us freedom to go on doing what we know is wrong. Some things in our society may be legal, but that doesn't make them right or permissible if it's at odds with the Word. The Word being the truth of God in the Bible. Some are not appropriate because they can control our lives and lead us away from God. Some actions may hurt others. Anything we do that hurts others is not right. We're a body of believers, and when one part hurts, we all hurt. A whole range of things and behaviours that cause harm could include neglect, addictions, overeating, greed, stockpiling food and toilet rolls, loving stuff more than God, idolatry, treating people as things, substance misuse, reading and watching inappropriate films and TV programs, sexual use and abuse, promiscuity, pornography, and lust. There are some stats from Covenant Eyes, which is an accountability, recovery, and a healing support for those that have issues with pornography. And some of their stats are that 70% of practicing Christians view porn at least once a month. 50% of clergy view porn once a month. 38% of women view porn once a month. And 85% of teenagers view porn frequently more than once a week. We have a seismic number of people viewing pornographic images, recordings and materials that is not only damaging to the person viewing, but also those that have been coerced into the business, who are sex trafficked maybe, who are being abused, just to give the viewer a dopamine and oxytocin high from screen sex and make money for those producing such things. But those that are viewing are searching for something. They're searching for love, they're searching for something to fill the hole that only God can fill. We are reminded in Scripture, though, that if we, as God's people, so much look at another person with lust, then we have committed adultery. You see, viewing pornography is sexual immorality, or a form of, and it tears down relationships and marriages. It pollutes the minds and unhealthy desires of the next generation. Sometimes it leaks into families, places unrealistic and unnatural expectations of sex, especially sex within marriage. It gives a wrong body image. It gives wrong ideas of what true intimacy in Jesus, in marriage, of sex is like. It alludes to multiple objectification of predominantly women, but also children and men. And very often, it's hidden. It's a hidden issue taking place in secret because Satan wants to keep people involved in that pornography secret and shameful. Oftentimes, there could be planned and manipulated times to access. Often, it's self-medicating behaviour. Sometimes it's a thing to cope with stress. I like chocolate when I'm stressed. But that's not good if I keep stuffing my body with chocolate. It's not good if we stuff our body with wine or alcohol if we're stressed. It's not good if we stuff our bodies with all sorts of stuff or our mind with things that aren't good. Pornography is no different to any other sin. It does escalate very quickly. And it requires more and more severe images and longer viewing to get that same high. And instead of giving intimacy, it gives a disconnect. If you think about when a mum has a new baby and a dad, they want skin-to-skin contact. Babies are so adorable, aren't they? You just want to pick them up and you want to hold them, you want to kiss them, you want to do all that. Not what we advise that in this current season. But When a mum is nursing her baby and feeding her baby, there is a natural oxytocin release. There's a dopamine release, and that bonds the parent and the child together. It forms a secure attachment, which then leads on to building blocks for other neurotransmitters in our brain that lead to health and well-being, to emotional and physical intelligence, and sound growth and development. Similarly, in marriage, when a husband and wife are together in a sexual way, the same neurochemicals release the oxytocin and dopamine, which bonds them together. And it strengthens the attachment. The two become one flesh. You see, godly sex is an extension of the intimacy between husband and wife. Whereas in the world, sex is seen as something completely different. It's seen as a form of self-gratification. It's a stronghold which grows the self-gratification appetite insatiably, leading to the neurochemicals that were meant to bond and attach the human race together and in families. And it has the opposite effect. It takes away the intimacy. It takes away connectedness. It takes away the emotional closeness and the physical closeness. And it causes isolation. It increases the loneliness. There's disconnect and there's shame, because Satan wants to keep people in shame. If he can keep people in shame, he's done his job. And there's guilt and there's acting out. But our Father God gave us Jesus to show us a different way. Our children, how many children do we have that have smartphones, and at the click of a button, they can access anything on their phones, and some as young as 10 years old, and even younger, own smartphones. So the mind boggles. In the world, there's no moral compass to ground those viewing pornography, and it erodes and erodes and erodes, and it's controlled by lust. Lust is not just for sex. You can lust after chocolate. You can lust after a brand new sports car. You can lust after a brilliant outfit. You can lust after an amazing house. But the lust is the deadly sin. It's the opposite of why Jesus came into this world, so he could demonstrate and show his love for all, being mindful of those that were marginalized, those broken and hurting in society. For the majority of adults who were viewing pornography, they started when they were teenagers. They were introduced as an early teen. And teenagers' brains rewire. Apparently there are two phases in a child's life where the brain development accelerates. And that's when they're tiny babies and all they do is sleep. And all these neurotransmitters and everything leads them to develop really well, and their brain function is high. When they're teenagers, brains rewire, and it's at this time that most teenagers start getting curious and can fall upon things by accident. But when it takes root, it does things to the brain. It affects the brain, not just in teenagers, but in any person. Sex then becomes the first thing, rather than the developing relationship and getting to know a person, that is important. And it's so at odds with the Bible, with God's word, and the godly example of what love is, the love for our neighbour and love for ourselves, and how we receive and reflect the love of Jesus in our lives. You see, we're able to love because Jesus first loved us. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, if you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." In our world, if you have an issue with drugs, there is something to support you with drug abuse. If there's substance misuse, then there is something to guide you. But quite often, there is nothing for those ungodly sexual behaviours that cut across class, race, or age. Looking to the world for moral guidelines can be likened to going to a dermatologist who thinks a band-aid would cure leprosy. But we as family, We as Christian brothers and sisters in Jesus can offer the lifeline to one another in all ways, and prayer and practical accountability support to all those that need help to be free from overeating, from alcohol, from drugs, from sex, from all those things. It shouldn't be a subject that we avoid. And most churches are a little bit, but Jesus didn't avoid things. It's like, what support is there? What can we give for those who are hurting, those who are subject and held in enslavement by this pornography, sexual immorality in any form? If we ignore or skirt around the issue, we're not fulfilling our family responsibilities to protect and offer good support. How many of us would allow someone that we know and love to cross a road knowing they're going to come into the car crash? How many of us would allow it? We'd be out there pulling them back. We'd have supernatural strength. We wouldn't know how to, but we'd get them back. How then can we ignore the devastation and oncoming breakdown in relationships if we do nothing for those in risky behaviours? We are human, and we're family. And there are times, and there will be times, we all fall short of the glory of God. Not one of us can pick up a stone and throw it. Only Jesus. And we're reminded that when the woman in promiscuity was caught in adultery, was brought before him, not one person could pick up a stone and throw it, because we are all sinful people. We all fall short of the glory of God. So this isn't about judgment. This is about being kind to one another. This is about supporting each other. This is about being the house of God so that people can come and confess. People can say, I'm really struggling with this, or I have this issue, and we don't have to keep it dark. We don't have to sweep it under the carpet. We have a way to deal with it. There's a difference, do you think, between falling into a muddy puddle by mistake and getting messy. We know children love to go in muddy puddles. But it's quite another when we keep going back to the same muddy puddle intentionally. You see, the behaviour and thought processes for someone continually going back needs support, and it needs more than a band-aid. Our culture's idea about freedom is often that we're free to do whatever we want, whenever we want, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. But we know, certainly at this time, we're all interconnected. Not one person is separate from another. And in the house of God, we are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. So if one person is hurting, then the whole body is hurting. The irony is, though, that when we go through seasons of doing whatever we want, these turn out to be our least content seasons. See, we were not built to live for ourselves. How often do we fall to the subtlety of Satan rather than to his bully tactics? Scripture reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Have you ever watched a lion on a hunt? And I don't mean Lion King. The unsuspecting victim is busy filling its stomach with leaves or grass, too engrossed to stop what he's doing to notice the telltale signs of approaching danger, and he will pay the price. How does the lion attack? Does he roar and charge head on from 2 miles away? We need to learn and notice more and more those fields of tall, luring grass that lie off the path we must walk. But if we stray from the path, we risk being devoured by the lion as he lies silently beneath the grass waiting. Do we know what our triggers are for going to the chocolate or the wine or whatever? Is it that we're tired? Is it that we're lonely? Is it that we're hungry? Is it that we're angry? Is it that we withdraw? Let's look up and be aware, self-aware, of what those triggers might be. See, our bodies, Jesus has given us our bodies, and our bodies are temples where the Holy Spirit of God abides. We're not our own. He came, he died on a cross. He died died, he was resurrected for us so that we might have a different future, a future in eternity with him. So our bodies are not our own. He paid the price for us. If we have God within us, as we believe the Bible says, then when we face with temptation, whether we face with lust, be that food, greed, gluttony, sex, we need a strategy. We need to flee, get as far away as is possible. Like Joseph did in Potiphar's house. He fled, he ran. If there's a fire in your house and everyone's out, you're not going to go back in to get stuff out. You're going to go away as far as is possible because it's dangerous. And sin is dangerous. Sex, lust is seductive. And it will allure you in and it will draw you in before you even know you're right in the centre of it. The important thing is not to go there in the first place. If we know our triggers, trust in God, we flee. The Apostle Paul has to correct and redress the Corinthian believers who had mistaken that everything is permissible for me. Paul goes on to share that I will not be mastered by anything. See, our bodies matter just as much as our soul, our spirit, and our mind. They're inseparably joined. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. We have been promised and assured in the Bible that we will have new resurrected bodies. Not sure what they will look like, but we're going to have a body. We're not just going to be a spirit and a soul floating around. As a result of our salvation and knowing Jesus intimately, we have freedom from sin and guilt. We shouldn't abuse this freedom or hurt others. We're reminded we are to have no part in sexual immorality, even if it's acceptable in society. Christians are free to be all they can be for God. He offers us an abundant life, life in all its fullness. God created sex to be beautiful and essential inside marriage. Sexual sin outside the marriage relationship, physical or screen, always hurts someone. It hurts God because we are the temple of God. And it shows him that we prefer our own desires rather than his desires and what is right for us. And instead of following the leading of the Holy Spirit, we follow the desires of our own. It hurts others because it violates the commitment so necessary to a relationship. It can bring disease to our bodies. It can bring deeply affects our personalities, which respond in anguish when we harm ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually. If you drink too much too often, you run the risk of being an alcoholic. If you eat too much too often, you might be on a path to obesity and all those health things that go on with that. If we disregard the environment, we cause damage to it. We need to be mindful of what God has given us to enjoy, including sex within the relationships he's given us, food to sustain us, creation to be enjoyed. And these things should not grow into a habit that control us. That said, none of us are beyond the transforming power of God. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here this evening. We wouldn't be here if we didn't know God's transforming power and forgiveness and restoration. And it's been said, it's not how often you fall that matters. It's that you get up immediately and go straight back to God. Look at David. Every time he fell, he was straight back to God. He was pleading. God was gracious. God was merciful. If we fall, get straight back up. If you're in the muddy puddle, get out of it. With God's power working in us, God can do much, 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 much more than anything we can ask or imagine. And I'm just going to leave you with an illustration. There was a farmer, and he needed a new saw. He used to cut down trees and sell the logs for his business. And he saw a new saw advertised, and it says you can easily chop down 50 trees in a day. So he went into the store, thought, yep, we're going to try that out, we'll buy it. After 3 days' use, He struggled to cut down more than 10. He had no increase at all. 10 was what he was cutting before. 10 is what he was cutting now. He'd got this old dangling, brand new fangled thing. So he went back into town, returned it in store with saw in hand, and he asked for a refund. And the customer care team asked him, "Why were you returning the saw?" And the farmer says, "It doesn't do what it said. I can't cut more than 10 trees a day." It was then that the salesperson took the saw, took it out of the box, had a look at it, looked underneath, and pressed a button. He pressed a button, and do you know what happened? The saw went like that, Derek. It went like that and made a massive roar and thunder. And anyone that's ever done anything with a chainsaw before, or a hedge trimmer, knows you've got to be really careful because they're very powerful, aren't they? And we've cut through quite a few wires in our time. So yes, it did that. And you know, the farmer looked at the person and was absolutely aghast and astonished. He went, oh. He'd been cutting the trees without being connected to the power. When he went home and he connected the power, he could cut 50 trees a day because he was connected to the power source. You see, whatever struggles and temptations we have and wrestle with and struggle with, whatever sidetracks us, whatever pulls us, whatever takes our focus off Jesus, and it will, because we are human. We are not supernaturally up there in heaven yet. We will be like the farmer, and we won't reach for the power source sometimes, the power source that will give us life in all its fullness. See, Jesus is our power source. He shows forgiveness. He gets us back on track. We're covered in his protection and his love. We can never outgive God. Never outgive God. God is always there in sufficient supply with his love. We will never run out of God's love. And our families will be healthy in every way when we're plugged into the power source. And when we fall, we get straight back up. You know, a toddler, they don't stop walking just because they keep wobbling and fall. They get straight back up. Jesus wants us as family to be healthy in every way, mind, body, soul, spirit. He wants us to love him with all our mind, body, soul, and strength. He transforms our lives and removes the sin. We are cleansed and we are free people, but we have a boundary. He gives us boundaries to protect us, to guard us, to keep us safe. And he says to us, just be kind to one another. Because there are people, we never know what people are struggling with behind closed doors. We never know what people are going through or why they're doing what they're doing, why they're drinking 6 bottles of wine, why they're viewing pornography, why they're eating 10 chocolate bars in one hit. You know, we don't know. He wants us to be kind. And he wants us to move on and not return to the muddy puddle. So, he just wants us to come close to him. And not one of us is without any sin. Not one of us. But for any of us struggling today, he just says, come to me, draw close to me. And as we sing, as the worship team come up, we're just going to have a few minutes as they prepare and just bring ourselves before him, because it affects everyone. But we are cleansed and we are washed and we are protected and we are loved. And we don't stay the same. Jesus loves us regardless, but he never wants us to stay the same as we are. He always changes us and moves us forward. So there is always hope. So let's just bring that before Jesus. Let's just have those moments before we draw closer to him in our worship. Father God, we confess any sin. Anything that would take our attention off you. Forgive us when we are self-absorbed. Forgive us when we are drawn into behaviours and thought patterns that are not of you. We thank you that you are our Father God. We thank you that you promise to love us always, and that you seek us and you come to find us when we fall. Father God, I pray for protective and supportive structures around every member in every church, Lord, of your body. I ask, Father, that you would give them your strength, that they would not be held in enslavement. They would not be shackled by the control and the coercion that they are embroiled in, Lord. I pray that you would free and release their minds. And as we know and we've been talking and praying about, you will change the way that we think and how we live. And I pray, Father, that you would give us that just now. That once again, your Holy Spirit would come and fall afresh upon each and every life in this church, in this town, that you would release us. And that as we draw close to you, you would draw closer to us. And we never have to worry about having our heads down, because you gave us a crown. You took the crown and you want our heads lifted high. And we only want to serve you. We only want to love you. We only want to do your will. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us all that is needed for now and for this coming week. Thank you, God. Thank you that you loved us so much that you gave us Jesus, and that we never, ever run out of second chances. Thank you, Lord. Amen.